Sister Reynolds shared. We were just, both of us after service were speaking generally about something said in the lesson, and I think something else, and something about the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse the Christian. And of course, this is found in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 7. Could we have that passage?
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
I'm just passing, because the brother has not yet reached what, just passing, begotten us again. We were biologically begotten at first. That is our physical begetting. So notice now it uses begotten us again. But this begetting again is referring to the spiritual begetting. Read.
Verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3.
You want 3 to 7?
Yeah.
Or 3 and 7.
Let me make sure if I want you to read verse 3 and or verse 3 through. Mm-hmm. Verse 3 and 7.
Verse 3 again.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And also verse... In fact, verse 4 and 7.
Okay. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten...
Brother, sorry. 1 John, rather. 3...
1 John chapter 1,
mm-hmm.
verse 3. And it reads, that which we have heard and seen, and that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
Notice, and I'm not going to be making a lot of comment because there's a lesson, a sermon coming up over the next few weeks about the importance of fellowshipping with one another. Very important lesson. But you notice that there are three fellowship that is mentioned here. We have fellowship, we declare unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us.
Yes.
And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. Now, read on.
And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full.
Mm-hmm. Read on.
This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
Okay. Walking in darkness means living apart from the directive of God's word. Very important that I'm generalizing the idea here of walking in darkness. When a man or a woman lives by the guidance of God's word, by what it teaches in respect to how each of us conduct our lives, you are walking in the light. And this must be kept in mind. Light show us what is in our path as we walk or run or drive. Light plays a very important part. Person like myself who was brought up, grew up in the country, rural Jamaica, and at that time there was no electricity in my district. In fact, over where my mother lives, she was the first one to have had electricity over there, because she lives quite a distance from the main road. But we saw to it that she get electricity, and being the person she was, when we didn't even think of that, she sell ice to the community. That's right. That's right. She would put her big ice cream thing of ice in the freezer, and you'll visit her and people coming, and asking her for so much ice. But when we were growing up, when we leave like our grandmother to go over our parents or vice versa, of course, when we reach certain age, our feet have gotten to know where all the stone were. That's right, our feet was like it has a built-in road map and knows where everything was, but there are places we're going where we need the torchlight, you know. The important thing is we need light. And the concept here, when you have light, you know where you are. You know where your danger is and where it is not. That's the concept. Men or women who live apart from the gospel, they walk in darkness. You can say to an ungodly man or woman, you do not know your danger. And you can say, you do not know the blessing you are missing either. Why he doesn't know? He doesn't live by God's word. He doesn't study. He doesn't see the importance. He doesn't respect what it is. After truth, he walks in the worst darkness there is. He doesn't know the danger he is in. That was verse 6.
Yes.
If we, read verse 6 again.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But if we walk in the light, mm-hmm, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
May I? It is this fellowship that we have with God. I'm not going to comment much on the fellowship with one another. Sermon coming up.
It is the fellowship we have with God that makes the continuous cleansing possible. Without this fellowship with God, you are without just that continuous cleansing. Is it daily? Is it hourly? Whatever.
So, what Sister Reynolds had asked, it wasn't asked to be dealt with here, but I feel that probably others can benefit or suggest, was that the backslider, is he also benefit from this continuous cleansing?
My answer is not my answer from what the Bible is that no. Are we all there? The backslider does not benefit from this continuous cleansing.
A person will say, but Brother Mitchell, it's contradictory.
If we walk in the light, we don't need any cleansing. You are wrong.
That's right. You see, brothers and sisters, we sin in thought. Are we all there?
We sin by things we think. We sin by things we say. We sin by things we do. We sin by things we fail to do.
Are we all there?
Did you know that most of Jesus' parable and saying deal with the sin of omission? That is, things we fail to do that we should have done. That's important. You see, we place the emphasis, I don't do this and I don't do that, thank God. Well, probably we are to thank God for what we don't do, but we might still be in a lot of spiritual danger because of our failure to do a lot of what we are expected by God to do. We refer to that as the sin of omission, those things that we omit. We don't do them. We don't treat them with importance. So let me start again. We sin in thought, what goes on in the mind. In fact, that's where sin begins. We sin in things we say. We sin in things we do. We sin in things we fail to do. And we sin also. A lot of sins are committed in attitudes. Are we all there? Just our attitude towards certain things, people, whatever, we sin. May I? Lot of time, therefore, we sin and do not even know it. How God address us and deal with our sin, if we are Christian, and God knows that we sin, but we don't recognize that we sin. But God knows if we knew that we sin, we would have taken it to Him. That's where the blood of Jesus Christ, cleanse it. That is, continues to cleanse. continues to cleanse. It's an ongoing thing. Are we all there? But Brother Mitchell, do we need that? Yes. But now, what about the sin we commit and we do not see ourselves sinning? Watch here now. Not because we are so ignorant, but we do not want to accept that we sin. Then, as much as it looks close to what I have just said, no, you are dealing with a different kettle of fish there, sir. Because when we fail to acknowledge our sin because of pride, you have two counts against you. Are we all there? Are we all there? We have two counts against us. That is, you have the pride that goes before destruction. You have God working against you. God resists the proud. Because it's that pride which hinders you from seeing that you have done wrong, be it to your fellow men or to God, and you don't want to acknowledge it. I use him, what he did name again, used to write for the Gleaner. This Englishman, Maurice Cargill, that's right, Maurice Cargill. I never forget, he wrote that probably some 20 years ago. I imagine he died probably 15 years, less or more. But I never forget it because I was glad that somebody, Maurice Cargill said, the reason why some people find it so difficult to apologize, are we all there? Or to say, I am sorry, is because they feel saying I'm sorry make them smaller. It's pride. People will do you the worst thing. I don't remember if you use the bus where a person will come in and they step on you or they throw their whatever. And they don't want to say they are sorry because that make them feel as if they are inferior. That's ignorant at its worst. You are small when you are too lifted up with false pride to say you are sorry. You are really little bit. You are big when the need comes and you can say, no, I'm sorry, I made a mistake there. Some people cannot do that, but that is pride. So when we sin and pride hinder us from acknowledging it, accepting it, or seeing it, we are in a terrible situation. The daily cleansing that God promised will not be given, because that is not ignorance, it's pride. But when a person is all honesty, doesn't know that they sin, that's where this daily or whatever cleansing is necessary. So in the areas that we sin, and many other ways, when we recognize that we sin, we take it to God. Where we sin and we don't even recognize it. But the Almighty God knows that if we were mindful of it, we would take our sins to Him and beg forgiveness. He still deals with us on that basis and cleanses us. That's why we need the blood of Christ. I like the illustration drawn by Brother Gibbs, when we had the big crusade in Independence City. And, you know, I thought that was a good illustration when he used the car wiper. He said, sometime when the rain just drizzling, you can turn on the slow wiper. Just like that. But he said, when the rain come down, either you turn on the other speed. But he says, sometimes when the rain comes down hard, you need the wiper. And he was saying he feels sometimes that he needs the fast wiper. That's right. You see. So what I'm saying, but no, as I've said, as Sister Reynolds asked, the backslider, no. The backslider is out of fellowship. So benefit available when you are in fellowship, genuine true fellowship, is not available when you are out of fellowship. That daily cleansing that is available to the faithful child of God is not available to the and the backslider. And I thought when it came up today that it's probably important that we point that out. When that backslider died in his or her backsliding state, that person is lost. And that is the terrible situation. Look, so, read verse 7 again.
But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
Remember, fellowshipping one with another and with God is not just something you feel. I feel that I'm in fellowship with God. No. There are definite conduct in life that determine whether we are in fellowship or not. And when those conduct, or that conduct and what is not in place, we are out of fellowship. That was verse 7, no?
Yes, verse 7.
Read verse 8 and 9.
But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
You hear? Even to think, because when it says say, the saying is only expressing what is in your mind. When you think that you have no sin, that itself again is pride. Are we all there? Are we all there? And you see, God hates that you going against the reality that he knows. Because he's the one against whom we sin. Read.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
Notice the conditionality. If we confess our sins. If we confess our sin. Uh-huh.
And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10.
Yeah.
If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Remember, saying it. We say what is in the mind. So when a person, even if a person doesn't verbalize it, but it's in the person's mind that, that he or she doesn't sin, you are still guilty of this. You know. A contrite disposition is important before God. Humility. And all what is said here is not available
to the ungodly. Now, before I leave this subject, look at Second Peter chapter 2, verse 20, following. Read aloud for me.
For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again entangled therein.
The term escape the pollution of the world is one way of saying after they have become Christian. Because escaping the pollution of the world means that the person has, through faith, repented of his or her sin, confessed faith in Christ, and get baptized. Of course, most, if not all of you know the word, you know, when a thing, if a water is polluted, it means it's packed with germ, contaminated. And the pollution of the world here is referring to sin, moral and spiritual contamination. That's what happened to us when we do not know Christ or do not know the truth. Mark you, a person who is member of man-made churches is still not cleansed. We must keep that in mind. It's only the truth of the gospel when it is learned and obeyed and lived by place us in the right position. So if after they have escaped the pollution of the world, they are
again entangled therein.
Notice term like entangle. Do we get it? You backslide and go and get tied up in sin. May I? It's not a matter, and this is not addressing the person who may, out of weakness or impulse, go against God's will now and again. That's not it. The backslider gone back to living in sin. There is a difference. The person has given up living for Christ and go back to living in sin. No restraint. No time for God. After they escape the pollution of the world, they are again entangled therein. Mm-hmm.
And overcome.
And overcome.
The latter end is worse with them than the beginning.
Why I've come to this part is to show you why this continuous cleansing is not available to the backslider. The Holy Spirit is telling us here, showing us why. The latter end is worse. You all get it? That backslider is worse than before he or she became a Christian. Amen. Read.
For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them.
This is awesome. You get the drift here, brothers and sisters. Here the inspired word of God is saying, it better we didn't become Christian. Can you believe it? Than when, you see, what it is doing here, you know, and I hope you see it, is showing the value and the importance and the significance, the blessing, the awesomeness of knowing Jesus Christ and the truth and being participants in God's grace. And it is implying there that when you know this and you become participants in God's grace and you walk away from it, something wrong with you. It's better you didn't obey then after you obey, you walk away from it. Read, brother.
But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again.
And that is a terrible sight. Terrible sight. When the body refuses something the dog ate, and the dog go back and eat it. The passage is telling us how God sees it. So this is why the continuous cleansing that is available to the trying Christian, as long as you strive to live by Jesus' principle, you respect it, you love it, you make it your guideline, as long as you do that, you get continuous cleansing. But not the backslide.